Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
How are you going to change? Change the way you think. From where? Think God's thoughts. Get these thoughts in me. Meditate in the Word day and night. You know, for this 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health that your soul prospers. How I think is so important. Joshua 1:8, Joshua, if you'll meditate my word day and night, continually say what I tell you to say, then you will have good success and you'll prosper in whatever you do. Psalms 1:1-3 says, if I fear God, delight in his commandments, I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. My leaf will not wither, I'll not cast forth my fruit before the season, and everything I do will prosper. The quality of my life is dependent on what I think, and God's word's what I'm supposed to feed on. And I'm supposed to hang around other people who feed on it. Proverbs 13:20. If you want to be wise, walk with wise men, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. So I need to walk with people who love God. I need to hang out with people, worship with people who love God. They're not perfect people, they're just people who love God. Who know how to repent, know how to forgive, and get back up. It makes everything different. Now then, look at this. It says, if I change the way I think, here's what it says, then, if I change the way I think by feeding on God's word, then I will learn to know God's will for my life. When am I going to know God's will for my life? Said, what's the will of God for my life? Well, you get in the Bible, you read the Bible, and you'll learn what God's will is for you. This is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. That's what it's called. The New Testament, the Old Testament, last will and testament. It's God's promises, what he left for us. When Jesus went to the cross and died and God raised him from the dead, he left us his will and testament, and that's what this is. And so this is God's will. This is what he's left me. It's when somebody passes away, you go see a lawyer, here's what they left you. You know, you want to see, you get excited. What did I get left? And Jesus said, I gave you all things that pertain to life and godliness. I left you a rich and satisfying life, but if you don't read it, know it belongs to you, you can't possess it. He goes and said that then if I know what God's will is, if I feed on the word, I'll know God's will for my life, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And here's what it is. Here's what this looks like. Look what Romans says. This is what Paul wrote. We never get to the next several verses after the verses 1-4. Paul said, this is because of the privilege and the authority that God has given me. I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Now watch this. He's talking to Christians. Don't think you're better than you really are. Now watch this. He says, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given you. He says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In other words, he said, we're not the same. Do not compare yourselves among yourselves. Don't say to your children, how come you're not like your brother? Why aren't you like your sister? How come you're not like your cousin? Because they're not. We're all different. God created us all different, but we're all special, we're all needed, we're all called to do something. The finger's called to be a finger, the toe's called to be a toe, the eye's called to be an eye, the ear's called to... Don't ask the eye to be the ear, don't ask the toe to be the finger. They can't. They're not called to do that. What have you and I been called to do? That's where you find satisfaction. And he says this way, in his grace, God has given us different gifts to do certain things well. That means some people don't do things as well as you do. Don't judge them. Don't condemn them. Don't throw rocks. Other people won't do things as well as you do. You won't do things as well as other people do. Why? We're all different parts of the body. He says, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out. Watch this now. Then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, then take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now here's, we talk about what is the perfect will of God? How do you know? God saved us and he called us to live a holy or set apart life. What is that holy life? See, we're always trying to make that so spiritual and flighty. It's very practical. To live this kind of life that God said, a satisfied life, looks like this. Now watch this. Listen to all these words as we go down through. Here's what he's saying. What's a satisfied life look like? What is it when you do the perfect will of God after you change the way you think? He says, do this. Don't pretend to love others. Don't pretend. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy. Work hard to serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. You kind of feeling ordinary today? That's good, isn't it? And he said this, don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honorable. Do all you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say this, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, watch this, in doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. I like that statement. Put that scripture on the refrigerator. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. What's that list mean? It's a to-do and not-do list of the people of God. We go all the way back. God said, Jesus said, I came to give you a rich and satisfying life. I'm going to give you the grace, which is what it said, 2 Timothy 1:9. God wanted to give, show us his grace through his son. Now that we're saved, we're born again, old things have passed away, all things become new, we should think different. If we think different, we act different. If we act different, we're going to feel different because we're doing what's right. When we do what's right, we feel good. It feels good to do what's right. Every human was created to do what's right, but it feels good to do it, but you got to know to do what's right. You know to make that choice. There's a great story by a guy named Thomas Paine who in 1980 wanted to die. He was been born in the late 1800s, and man, he's hurting. His heart's bad. He's taking all kinds of medication. He's lucky. He's living day to day. He can't breathe. He wakes up today just hurting every day, and he's thinking, I just want to go home. Most of my friends have died. My family's moved off. I just want to die and go home. But he doesn't want to kill himself because he doesn't believe that's right. So he thinks, what can I do? I'm stuck in this middle ground. So he thinks, I know what I'll do. I'll get up early in the morning. I'll go out the back door of my house. I'll put on my tennis shoes, and I'm going to run through my neighborhood as fast as I can. And my heart being in the shape it is, so weak, and I'm taking so much medicine, it's bound to just explode. I will fall over dead and go to heaven, and that'll be it, and it'll all be legal. So he did that. He got up the next day, put on his tennis shoes, went out the back door, ran as fast as he could in his mid-80s through his neighborhood. Said he got about 150 yards, and he just passed out. Boom, right down on the sidewalk. Woke up about 10 minutes later and realized he's still alive. He didn't die. He's still alive. He thought, oh, my goodness, I can't believe. Bad heart. It didn't just go. The ticker didn't just blow up. And so he gets up the next day and thinks, I'm not going to take my medication. I won't even take my medicine today. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to take off through my neighborhood running as fast as I can. This old weak heart's bound to just explode and wear out, and I'll just fall over dead. Thing is, the next day he got about 300 yards before it happened again. The next day he got a little further. Eventually, he got up to where he's running about 6 miles a day. Instead of dying from an exploding bad heart, he just ran himself back to health. Became actually a cult figure among marathoners. In his 90s, running marathons. A man who's dying, who wants to die, who has not lived a satisfied life. He's not satisfied with his life every day. Gets up and tries to kill himself, and in doing so, runs himself back to hell. And so at the end of this big marathon, here's this nice, thin, old guy in shape, all tan and looking good. Who is that? It's Thomas Paine, who tried to run himself to death and ran himself back to life. Living a full, rich, satisfied life. The devil wants us to feel sorry for ourselves. People, I'm telling you, you don't understand how he thinks. Man, everybody, half the psalm, half the hymn, half the sad song. You can't sit around and feel sorry. God is not moved out of pity. If God was moved out of pity, there'd be no suffering today. God is moved by one thing and one thing alone. He's moved by faith. What did he say? Do we believe what he says or what we're looking at? And that is the challenge of life, to living a satisfied life or a life as a thumb-sucking, whining 5-year-old who gripes about everything, complains about everything. If this had only happened, if I'd only had a daddy, I'd have been somebody. If I'd only had a mama, I'd have been somebody. If the coach had only played me, I'd have been somebody. If the teacher had only helped me, I'd have been somebody. If I hadn't been fired from a job, I'd have been somebody. And it's everybody's got a reason to suck on their thumb and cry about something. God's not moved by that. God's moved by faith. What do we believe what he says? God says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. We need to get up and do something. We can't just lay around feeling sorry for us. God's not moved by that. If I cry, he will cry. If I weep, he'll weep. If I hurt, he hurts, but he will not move. God has only moved out of faith. That's why Jesus always asked people what they wanted. Even though he knew it, he asked blind Bartimaeus, what do you want, blind man? Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now, it was obvious he was blind. Jesus asked the crippled man by the pool, crippled man, what can I do for you? Well, it's obvious what he needs legs. But Jesus always asked the question, because here's what the Bible says. I know what you need before you ask, but I need you to ask. It's a legal situation. God says, I know what you need. Roll your cares over on me, for I care for you. Don't be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants us to seek him. We've got a part to play. We walk around the walls of Jericho, then God knocks them down. We lift up the staff over the Red Sea, then God parts the water. We make the mud and put it in the eyes, then God opens the blinded eyes. Throughout the Bible, God always required an act of faith. God never asked anybody to do something that they couldn't do or give something they couldn't give. God wants us to do something. This list of stuff here is very simple. It'll make a marriage completely different. It will change your marriage. Romans 12, if you and I will do what's listed in Romans 12, it will change our marriage. It's living different because we're thinking different. We think different because when God saved us, he called us. What did he call us to do? Live different than the world. To show the world that God's grace is sufficient. How do you do that? God wanted the world to look at you and I and ask us about the hope that's in us. And we would say it's Jesus. He's the one that changes because his word changes. His word came into our heart and changed the way we thought. And we changed the way we thought, we changed the way we act. And people responded differently to us because we act different. It's the most revolutionary thing you'll ever get. The truth of the good news. I'm going to close by just listening to this. These are just all the commandments in Romans 12. Says this, listen, these are just the commands, not the tail end of it. Said, don't pretend, really love, hate, what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, never be lazy, work hard to serve the Lord enthusiastically, rejoice in our confident hope, which is Jesus, be patient. When you're in trouble, be patient. Let patience have it perfect work, that you might be entire and perfect, lacking nothing. So that'll lead to faith. That's why faith works. Keep on praying. You need to pray all the time. Quit griping and pray. Go to God with your problems and troubles, the Bible says. Be ready to help God's people. Be eager to practice hospitality. Don't gripe. Man, you ought to open up your home. Have people come over. Make them feel comfortable in your house. That's a spiritual thing to do, is to receive people in your home and make them feel good, to feed them, to make them relax. That is a godly thing to do. It says, bless who? Your enemies, those who persecute, bless them. God, bless them. They need help. They're mean as snot, full of the devil. Lord, you need to bless them. You need to take blindness from their minds. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with who? People that are happy. Weep with who? People that are crying. So live in harmony with everybody. Don't be too proud to hang out with other people. Don't get your own little clique going. Love everybody. You ought to hang out with everybody. Don't think that you know it all. Never pay back evil with evil. Do things in such a way that everybody see that you're an honorable person in what you do. Live in peace with who? Everybody. Even your mean in-laws, your mean cousin and uncle. Live in peace with everybody. Never take revenge. God does that a lot better than we do. And conquer evil by doing good. That is Romans chapter 12. That is one of the greatest lists. I pray, Father, today, take blindness from our minds and lighten the eyes of understanding. Give us a new heart, Lord, that we might live different, that we might have what Jesus promised, a rich and satisfied life all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joebiggieministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.